Let's read a couple of verses that we read a moment ago. Romans 5.
Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified. Being justified by faith. Justified by faith. We have peace, reconciliation, access with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Romans 5, be much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What does it mean to be justified? That question's been asked many times from this pulpit by me and other preachers. The subject has been preached again and again. But I ask you again, what does it mean to be justified? Now, if you ask most people this question, and most preachers, they'll confuse you and puzzle you. Because most people do not know what it means to be justified. I will try my best this morning, my very, very best, God giving me the grace and the wisdom to make the answer to that question as plain as I possibly can and as simple. Justified. What is it to be justified? Well, number one, that's a legal term. It's always used in this way. Justified. You think about it a moment. It's a legal term. He's justified in what he did. He wasn't justified in that. It's a legal term. Free from guilt. The word justification means simply not guilty. To be justified is to be not guilty. Pure. Before the law, I stand. Take a person and stand him before the perfect, holy law of God and examine him, judge him in deed and in thought and in word and in imagination and inwardly and outwardly. And there's only one way for him to be justified before that law. And that's to find him not guilty. Not guilty. If we're justified before the law of God, we're not guilty. Not in word, in thought, in deed. Not guilty. Now, if you find him guilty, he can't be justified. Guilty in one point. To offend in one point is to be guilty of the whole law. It's to be guilty. You've got to find him pure. Pure. Who shall stand? He that hath a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity. Who has not sworn deceitfully. Pure. If you find him guilty, you can't justify him. No way. If you find him guilty, you can forgive him. But you can't justify him. Can't make him just. You can pardon him, but you can't make him just. Can't cleanse him. He's guilty. To be justified is to be not guilty. And therefore, as Paul said, to have peace with God. If a man's justified, not guilty, he has peace with God. There's no condemnation. There's no charge. There's no curse. There's no fear because there's no guilt. And now my heart condemns me not. Pure before the law I stand. Well, that being the case, no one here is justified because we're guilty. Turn back to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Now, that leads to the next question. Well, how can sinners be justified? If justified means not guilty, pure before God's law, without spot or stain, holy before God. If it means that, then how can the guilty be justified? Well, Romans 3 tells us that we're all guilty. In Romans 3, verse 19, look at it. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, God's word, God's law, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. No excuse, no alibi. And all the world become what? Guilty. Subject to the judgment of God. Subject to the wrath of God. We're guilty. Everyone, without exception. Every son of Adam. Look back at verse 9. What then, are we better than they? Paul's talking about the religious Jew. Are we better than the Gentile? Because we don't eat one another? Because we don't sacrifice blood to blood to idols? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. We've both proved, both Jew and Gentile. They're all under sin. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. None that doeth good, no, not one. Guilty. Guilty. And I'll tell you, go down to verse 20, and our attempts and our efforts to justify ourselves are futile. By religion, by works, by deeds, it's futile. Look at verse 20. Therefore, because we're already guilty before the law, guilty by the deeds of religion, by the works of the law, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is not the cleansing of sin, but the knowledge of sin. We may justify ourselves before one another. Get religion, make professions of faith, quit certain outward sins, clean up our lives. You are they, he said, which justify yourselves before men. Like the Pharisees of old, Christ said, you clean the outside of the cup, but the inside's full of pollution, corruption. He said, you're like a grave that appears beautiful on the outside, but inside it's full of bones, dead men's bones. Cleanse first that which is within. That's what I can't do. Cleanse first that which is within. That's what we can't do. We can't make ourselves pure in thought, in word, in imagination. Can't do it. By the deeds of the law, then no flesh be justified. The key is in his sight. What is it to be justified? Not guilty in his sight. Pure and holy, without charge or blame, blameless in his sight. How can it be done? Well, someone says, well, let someone pay his debt. Let someone serve his sentence. Let someone take his place and die under the law. All right, let's suppose that a moment. Let's suppose that a moment. I say it's an impossible thing. It's impossible, but let's just suppose it. And preachers have used this illustration for years. Here stands a man guilty of murder. Now stay with me. He is, in fact, a murderer. One of the worst of all murderers. His hands are stained with the blood of his victim. And that's what we are. We're murderers, thieves, adulterers, robbers, covetous. That's what we are before God. We're guilty. Here he stands. He's been tried and found guilty and sentenced
to serve the punishment. But suppose I go to the judge, and humanly speaking, before men, I'm not a murderer. I haven't killed anybody. Innocent. And I go to the judge or to the court, and I volunteer to serve his sentence. I volunteer to take his place in the gas chamber. Will he then be justified? If they turn him loose and kill me, is he justified? No, sir. He is guilty when they had him. He is guilty when I volunteered to take his place, and he's guilty when they set him free, and he's still guilty. And an innocent man cannot take the place of a guilty man. Cannot do it. And the law be honored. I may take his punishment. I can't take his guilt. I may serve his sentence, but I'm saying the law is still not satisfied till the law kills him. The law is not honored till the law kills him. And God's law is not honored till it kills you. Me. Got to. I've got to die. I did the sinning, and I've got to serve the sentence. It's impossible, impossible for the innocent take the place of the guilty and justify him. Cannot be done. Well, you just shot your gospel to pieces. No, I hadn't. Now, wait a minute. Listen. But what the law cannot do, God can do. The disciples said, who can be saved? He said, with men, it's impossible. The ways of men, the plans of men, the gospels of men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let's see what God did. Let's see what God did. All right, here we stand. Listen to me. Here we stand. Sinners. Blasphemers. Injurious. Murderers. Thieves. Robbers. Here we stand. Sinners. Sons of Adam. Guilty. Guilty before God, guilty before the law, guilty before justice. Arrested and brought to court and found guilty and sentenced to die. God says the soul that sinneth, it must surely die. Christ, the perfect, holy Son of God, came to this earth. He laid aside his glory. He laid aside his position. He came to earth and was born of a woman. How can he be clean that's born of a woman, Job said? For his substitute to be born of a woman. Christ couldn't redeem me and stay only God. He's got to be born of a woman. He's got to not just take my place, he's got to become me. He's got to become me. So he came, the Holy Son of God, and was born of a woman, and was made in the very likeness of this flesh, my flesh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He became me. He literally put me aside. Object of his love. Object of his grace. Object of his mercy. And actually came into this world. Now when I took the place of that fellow down there in the court, I stayed like I was. I didn't become him. I wasn't like him. I didn't take his flesh. They killed me, the innocent man. Let the guilty man go free. But when Christ took my place, he literally became me. That's right. He became me. He set me aside. He became me. He took my place. He was actually numbered with the transgressors. The Son of God was made sin. And justice came and looked at him and said, "How do you plead?" He said, "Guilty. I did it. I did it. Punish me." This is the marvelous doctrine of substitution that a natural man cannot understand, has to be revealed by God's Spirit. Isaiah caught it up. He said, "Who believes this report? Who believes this gospel? Who believes this message? To whom is the arm, the power, the glory, the salvation of God revealed?" Here it is, but who believes it? "He shall grow up." That's me. I was born of a woman years ago, a suckling on a mother's breast, and I grew up as a tender plant, a root out of a dry ground, having no form and comeliness, no beauty that anybody should desire him. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised and rejected. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. A nobody or nothing. But he was wounded for our transgressions because they were laid on him. God literally laid on him the sins of his people. He was a sinner. And I'll tell you how I know that. Because when he was bearing those sins and dying on that cross, God Almighty turned his back on him. Because he was sin. That's right. He was me. Literally, actually, I died on that cross. That's the marvelous doctrine of justification. God didn't pass over my penalty. He paid it. He took my unrighteousness and gave me his righteousness. He took my guilt and gave me his holiness. He took my wickedness and gave me his purity. He bore my transgressions and gave me his godliness. He was me, and I became him. That's tough substitution. That's God found him guilty. God hadn't found him guilty, God would have never put him on that cross. And God certainly would have never turned his back. That's right. That's the marvelous doctrine of full atonement. What we could have never paid nor satisfied through an eternity. He fully compensated and satisfied by that one offering because of who he is. And when God raised him from the dead, God literally said to the whole world, "He satisfied me. He glorified me. Glorify me that I might glorify thee." He did. He honored my law. And God raised him and took him to glory. And when he took him to glory, he took me to glory and you. And every believer. Because when he died, we died. I am crucified with Christ. Christ is me. I'm risen with Christ. I'm seated with Christ, and therefore, I'm justified. I'm not guilty. We don't get into heaven by hook or crook. We get into heaven by pure honesty. I'm not guilty. The reason there's no charge laid to God's elect is they're not guilty. The reason there's no condemnation is they're not guilty. If they were guilty, there'd still be condemnation like that prisoner. I can't take his place. I can take his punishment, but he's still guilty. I can take his sentence, but I can't take his guilt. He's still guilty. And no matter where he goes, he's got to wear a sign, guilty, guilty. My hands are dripping with blood. I'm guilty. But when he dies,
And the law satisfied. Not guilty. And I died. Not guilty. I kept the law. Oh, my, that's it. So look at Romans 3, verse 25. But look at verse 24. Verse 23 says, we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, how far short we have come. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being, listen, justified, not guilty. Freely. No merit, no price to pay. No price to pay. I read a little story the other day about Roland Hill. I want you to listen to it. Being justified freely. Roland Hill was to preach at a county fair in England many years ago. And when he got up to preach, he noticed all the vendors selling their wares. They were selling milk and honey and wine and crafts and so forth. And he said to the people to whom he was preaching, he says, our friends out there, the vendors, bring their milk and their honey and their wine, and they try to get you up to their price for their honey and their milk and their wine. They try to get you up to their price. He says, I come and my milk and my honey and my wine is better than theirs. It's an eternal feast. But my difficulty is not to get you up to my price. It's to get you down to my price. It's free. Free. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. Come and buy milk and wine without money, without price. Oh, he said, if I were to preach justification for one sovereign, one pence, everybody would leave here justified because they'd all pay the price. If I could preach justification for all who would walk 100 miles, everybody here would become a pilgrim tomorrow. If I could preach justification for all who would take off their shirts and be beaten with stripes, most would bare their backs immediately. But when I come preaching the gift of God, freely given by His grace in Christ Jesus to the poor and needy, it's hard to find a taker. But it's still nevertheless true. Being justified freely, without money, without price, without works, freely, by His grace, not because I would, because He would. No man takes my life from me, He said. I lay it down. I lay it down. Willingly, freely, by His grace. Through the redemption that's vested in Christ Jesus. Laid on Him. Performed by Him. Complete in Him. In Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God has set forth. God set him forth by promise. This Adam from above, this Son of Man, this representative, was promised the seed of woman. Immediately after man's fall, God set him forth in promise. He promised him. And in the Old Testament, God set him forth in picture. He slew a Passover lamb. Set him forth in picture. God set him forth one day on this earth in person. Flesh. The God-man. And God's last Old Testament prophet, the forerunner, pointed at this man and said, behold, look, with wonder, the Lamb of God
that taketh away the sin of the world. God set him forth. And then one day outside the walls of that capital of religion, Jerusalem, God hung him on a tree. In the room and in the stead and in the place of every one of his elect, between heaven and earth, our substitute, our sin offering, our scapegoat, our Savior, bearing in his body, numbered with the transgressors, guilty, all the sins of all his people of all generations, between heaven and earth, forsaken of everybody, and finally even of God, he descended into hell. What is hell? Hell is to be separated from God. Hell is to be separated from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Almighty God never forsook an innocent man. He said to you, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're not guilty. But he was guilty. And God forsook him. And he died. They took his body down and laid it in a tomb. And God set him forth, for he raised him. He raised him and let him appear before many witnesses. And then one day out on top of a mountain, God took him to heaven and said, sit down on my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. God set him forth. Verse 25 said to be a propitiation, a sin offering, a substitute, a mercy seat through faith in his blood. Well, what do I do, preacher? Faith in his blood. To declare God's righteousness for the remission of sins that have passed all those Old Testament believers through the long suffering of God. To declare, I say at this time, God's righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Now, where is boasting? What we got to brag about? It's excluded. By what law of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified through faith without the deeds of the law. What do I do? You believe. You believe on him. You look to him. And you have two examples here in chapter 4. You have one example, Abraham. Everybody knows Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God. Well, how did he get such a title? He was justified. How was he justified? Let's read it. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Well, if he were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God. God knows him. What does the Scripture say? He believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He justified by faith, by believing God, believing Christ. And then David is the next one. Look at verse 6. He uses the example of David. He said, even as David describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness, holiness, purity without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. How'd that come on Abraham? He believed God. How did that righteousness and justification come to David? He believed God. I believe. He said, therefore have I spoken. What about us? Chapter 4. Verse 21, and Abraham, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, that was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him righteousness, justification, holiness, but for us also, to whom it shall be charged, reckoned, imputed. If we believe. If we believe. On him. that raised up Jesus, our Lord, our substitute, our sin offering, our high priest from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses, our guilt. And if he was, then he was raised for our justification because he satisfied them in full. He came down here and became me. He was delivered to this experience and worked for my offenses. He became me. My offenses became his. He became guilty in my place, and he died. And he was buried, and when he arose, I arose. And he came forth without sin. And when he did, that left me without sin. Now that's justification, not guilty. And I'm saying that every person in here this morning who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who rest in Christ, for whom he died, for whom he was delivered into the hands of wicked men, crucified and slain, you're not guilty. God said, their sins I remember no more, because they don't exist. How you say, how did God, can God forget? God doesn't forget. But they are no more. They are no more. We're not guilty. You can't, you say, will we go to the judgment for what? Will we be tried for what? Are we going to go to heaven and weep over our sins? We don't have any. That's what Scripture says. I'm justified. I'm not guilty. Pure before the law I stand in Christ. Now, that's justification. Now, religion won't do that. It won't do it. But Christ can, and he does. All right. All right. I hope that's a blessing. Let's sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed, number 224. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him.